Well, if you have your Bibles with you this afternoon, go ahead and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Our text this afternoon is going to focus on verses 6 through 10. Before we hear the reading and the preaching of God's word, let's go before him once again in prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come now to your word, that to which you have so graciously given to us. Lord, you have given it to us. It is complete truth. It shows us, Lord, not only yourself, not only our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you teach us what we must do in obedience to you. Lord, you show us wonderful things in the pages of Scripture. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be amongst us even now, that you would remove distractions from our hearts and minds, that we would be completely attentive to your word. Teach us now what we must do in service to you. Cause us to be a changed people as we leave this place. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6. This is the word of God. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's word. Well, beloved, when encouragement and comfort come our way, we welcome it with open arms, don't we? And this is especially true when we may have spent time being concerned for someone, being unsettled by uncertainty, fighting the temptation to be anxious about things that may be true in their lives that are out of our control. When we receive good news about them, that is the salve for our concern and comfort for our cares. It brings relief. It brings the occasion to be thankful and rejoice. Last week, we heard Paul's message of concern, which stemmed from godly affection for the saints in Thessalonica. We considered Paul's sending of Timothy, a brother in the Lord and minister of God. He was sent to them to establish and encourage them in their faith. Paul wanted to know how they were doing. He wanted to know if they were persevering in the faith. And today we see Paul's great comfort that was the result of Timothy's report that the church was indeed doing well. The saints were steadfast in the faith. And so following Timothy's return, Paul now speaks of the effects that that good news had on him and his colleagues. And in verse 6, we see this good news from Timothy. Verse 6, Paul says, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you." Now note, "but now that Timothy has come to us from you." You know, as we know, Timothy was set on a mission. He was successful in carrying out that mission, in establishing and in encouraging the people in their faith. And now he's returned with a report to Paul about the health of the congregation. And it's interesting that he says it was good news. This good news is, in its root word, is the same that where we get to announce good tidings, to address with a gospel teaching, even to evangelize. This is the same root word used to communicate the angels' glad tidings when they announce the birth of Christ to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And note that this is the only place in the New Testament where this word is used of good news that is not directly related to the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. The good news Timothy brought was primarily regarding the saints' faith and love. John Calvin, commenting on this connection of faith and love, states that in these two words, Paul comprehends briefly the entire sum of piety. This is all of godliness, that is, faith and love. Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number 5, says, what do the scriptures principally teach? And what's the answer to that question? The scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. 2 Timothy 1:13. Paul told Timothy, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in what? In faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Faith corresponds to what we are to believe concerning God, and love corresponds to all of our duties to God and man. Indeed, faith and love are two graces that are very important and are closely connected. Scripture also tells us of a third important grace, that being hope. Remember that Paul witnessed these graces in the Thessalonian church when he was with them. We see this in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. Remembering without ceasing, he said, your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God, our God and Father. Faith, hope, and love. And note that Paul will also later in chapter 5, verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians, he will encourage them to arm themselves with these graces. When he says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So for Paul, this was good news. He was also glad to hear of the Thessalonians' remembrance of them. Not only was their faith doing well, not only was their love demonstrated, but they remembered Paul and Silas and Timothy and their ministry amongst them. They viewed their ministry as highly significant. It was much appreciated. The Lord worked mightily through his faithful ministers in their hearts and lives. And their desires toward Paul and his fellow ministers in their returning was reciprocal. Paul wanted to come back, and the Thessalonians wanted Paul to come back. That was a great testimony of a God-given relationship between Paul and the people. And so in verses 7 through 10, we see the effects of this good news. The effects of faith and love. In these verses, we find that Timothy's report had four effects, to be specific, on Paul. In verse 7, we read there, therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. Notice that the first effect of the good news was that of comfort. It was that of comfort. In the midst of affliction and distress, Paul was comforted by their faith. In the midst of distress, there may seem to be no room for cheerfulness when we think about it. even those who would have observed Paul or watched Paul or maybe even anticipated conversations with Paul and noting his distress, noting his presence in affliction, they would assume and say, no, there's surely no room for cheerfulness in his life. However, in walks encouragement. Comforts sinks in. Hearing about the saints' perseverance from Timothy extinguished the fire of Paul's present troubles and filled him with joy. It filled him with joy. Paul had similar encouragement with the saints in Corinth, if you recall. Note that Paul had many detractors, many critics in Corinth as well. The people were trying to destroy his reputation in the eyes of the Corinthian church. And in some ways, Paul needed to prove himself and reiterate his intentions to love and serve them. And in his second letter, he speaks to the matter of comfort. He first tells them of the comfort of God with which he comforts his people. And if you would like, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 5 we'll be taking a look at. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Notice he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And let's stop there for a moment. Father of mercies. Micah chapter 7 verse 18 teaches us that God delights in mercy. We know that God is merciful. We have seen that even in our own redemption. And this should encourage us greatly. That God is merciful and he delights in mercy. For in Christ, God does not deal with us as we deserve. But he has extended love to us. He extends peace and grace to us. He gives us comfort. And further, Paul said, God is the God of all comfort, and this is also of great encouragement. The Holy Spirit applies his comfort in beautiful ways in our hearts. And we need to realize that there is no true comfort apart from God. If we're honest, we too often look for it in other things, in other places. But beloved, you will only find temporary, insufficient fixes and feel good things apart from him. The comfort that is true and deep and meaningful can only be found in Jesus Christ. And knowing this, we should turn to him in our time of need and know that sweet comfort we do receive comes from him. He is the God of all comfort. And Paul goes on to explain that God, in verse 4, comforts us in all our tribulation, he said, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Not only is God the source of all mercy and comfort, but notice that there is a big picture reason that God comforted Paul and his companions. And that was so that they could comfort others with the same comfort through Christ that they had been comforted. But Paul also told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 of the great comfort of the saints in Corinth. He says, nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you. When he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice even more. You can see that a similar case existed in Corinth as occurred in Thessalonica. Like Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonica, Paul was concerned about Corinth and sent Titus to them. And Titus came back and Paul was comforted by his return. However, he was also comforted by Titus's report concerning their love and affection toward Paul and his ministry. And so Paul continued in verse 13, "Therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoice exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all." Now take note. The comfort was not only the contents of Titus's report, but also in the fact that Titus himself was joyful and refreshed from his visit. God used Titus to refresh the people, but he also used the people to refresh Titus. And Paul was greatly encouraged by this. And so this was what Paul was telling the Thessalonians. He sent Timothy to find out how they were doing. He sent Timothy to check in to see if their labor had been in vain, if they indeed had been tempted by the tempter, and if they had walked away. And Timothy went. He ministered to the people again. He was with them. It was great. It was wonderful. He received a great experience and had a great testimony of what was going on there that he would relay back to Paul. And as Paul was enduring suffering and affliction in Corinth, he recognized the refreshment and the encouragement that he received from hearing Timothy's report of the vibrant faith of the church in Thessalonica. He says, "For we now live if you stand fast in the Lord." And so that was the first effect, that the comfort that Paul received from Timothy's report. But the second and third effects we see in verse 9, that Paul was thankful and he was joyful. He was thankful and he was joyful. He says, "For what thanks can we render to God for you for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God?" My friends, Paul couldn't come up with the words to express how thankful he was. And this was such good news. He was kind of beside himself, so to speak, in his thankfulness and joy. And in fact, as we look at the beginning chapters of this epistle, we see that theme running through it all. From the very beginning of chapter 1, how thankful he was concerning the Thessalonians and their walk with the Lord, their faith in Christ, their exhibition of faith, hope, and love. And so Paul was concerned about them, but now that the good news had come to him, he rejoiced in their faith and gave thanks to God for that joy. You know, there are many things that give us great joy in life. And we are reminded here that when we are the most cheerful, we should also be the most thankful. When we are the most cheerful, we should also be most thankful. For we recognize that it's from God that all blessings flow. We recognize that he is at work in the hearts of his people and that we are truly thankful for his great work. We praise him for these things because we see that it is only of him, it is only of his grace, it is only of the work of the Spirit that any of this fruit is manifest in the hearts and lives of his people. And we say, praise you, O Lord, for the work that you have done and that you are doing. Because it is not of them. It is all of him. And so we've seen three good effects of this good news for the Apostle Paul. Three good effects that we should have when we hear good news of God's gracious saving of souls as he has planted them in his vineyard and as he is growing them in that vineyard. And indeed, wasn't that Paul's concern for the Thessalonian church? As they were a new church, as they were young planters, these were young believers, that he wanted them to be nourished in the word, and he wanted them to be fed, and he wanted them to mature, and he wanted them to persevere in the face of persecution and affliction. But notice this fourth effect in verse 10. We see Paul's petition. We see his prayer. Paul has been praying for them, and his prayers have been answered. However, notice that that doesn't stop him from praying. He keeps praying for them. Night and day praying, he says, exceedingly, that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Paul not only offers a prayer of thanksgiving for the people, but he offers a prayer of petition to God. And this type of prayer literally is a prayer in which Paul went before the Lord earnestly and frequently. This wasn't a one-off. It wasn't a one-time deal. He was on his knees before the Lord for the Thessalonian saints. So he prayed night and day. And there was always an appropriate time for Paul to be praying for them. And we see here with Paul that when he prayed and he had his prayers answered, he kept praying for more. And there were always things to pray about and people to pray for. His prayers were fervent and they were continual. And notice it was a twofold prayer. Paul wanted to see their face and perfect what was lacking in their faith. He wanted to see them, and he wanted to build them up in the faith. They were young believers. There were some doctrines and teachings of Scripture that they didn't understand. And Paul was excited that there was evidence that their faith was real. But by the grace of God, he wanted to help them grow more in it. So we see here, my friends, that brotherly affection should be accompanied by brotherly concern. We saw that even evidenced in the context in our text last week. Brotherly affection should be evident in brotherly concern. And what concerns are on your heart and are in your mind for others today? May we all pray that if it be God's will, our concern will be encouraged by divine comfort. And like Paul, we desire to receive good news about the well-being of our spiritual family. Be encouraged. Be joyful and give God thanks as you witness and hear word of his work in the faith and the lives of others. Sometimes we don't think about that enough. Sometimes we don't do that enough. Sometimes we don't pause to even consider the grace in the life of our family, of our friends, of even others in the church, of other brothers and sisters in Christ that are in other places, and the simple fact that God saved them. And they believe. And that in that faith, they are standing steadfast in the faith and walking with the Lord. Sometimes we concern ourselves with other details of life, and that's good and appropriate. But we need to, even like Paul here saying, I want to know about your faith. Tell me about your faith. Tell me what you've learned, Timothy. And then I'm going to praise the Lord for those things. Even the simple things that they are standing fast in the faith in the midst of persecution. Like the Thessalonians, may we be mindful that we are all growing in grace. We all have areas where we need to grow in faith and the knowledge of God. Like Paul had a strong desire to be with and to lead and to build up the people. And as the people had a strong desire to be with him and to grow, I encourage you to build relationships with and pursue time to study with your pastor and your elders. And as Christians, we must not be satisfied with being spiritually stagnant. As Christians, we must not be satisfied with being spiritually stagnant. But we should be pressing forward in spiritual maturity. Be active in your participation and sitting under the preaching and the teaching ministry of the church. Be active in private and family and group discussion and study. Grow in his grace by his work, beloved. But desire that. Desire to be fervent in your study in his word. May God indeed give us grace to grow and to flourish in the faith and to be encouraged as we see others doing so as well. Amen. Praise God for his word. Let's pray together.